first profession. That I wholeheartedly agree with Missy Simpson about over-sentimentalizing Christmas does not change the fact that Miss Simpson is not my favorite human being. She gets her way by sheer force of character. She's great to have on your team, but oppose her and you lose. There's all kind of silliness connected to Christmas already, and we don't want to add to it, she said. It was Christmas pageant practice, and she had all the kids, shepherds, wise men, Mary and Joseph, the whole works, in the first two pews. Animals singing and all of that, it only sentimentalizes the real story. She barely paused for breath. Did the baby Jesus cry? Well, of course he did. He was human. Humans cry, case closed. So this silly little line, no crying he made, is just flat out ridiculous. Sentimental hooey. I knew how my daughter would take that. For most of her 13 years, Angela has considered The Lion King to be the greatest story ever told. Jesus was born in a barn because, quite literally, there was no room in town. Missy pointed in the air. Have any of you ever not found a motel? It's awful. Jeff and I were in Athens, Ohio once years ago, and we couldn't find a thing, but that's another story. Thank goodness, I thought. And Christmas carols in the mall, that's probably the biggest sacrilege of all. The Hallelujah Chorus as Muzak. My daughter has no idea what Muzak is. And that's why we have to be authentic as possible, Missy told them. We don't want to sentimentalize Christmas. Angela understands the word sentimentality no more than she does the unpardonable sin. I'm sure she rather likes hearing O Holy Night in Walmart. And that's why we have to make the truth stick. Oh, I thought of her choice of words downright inappropriate because I knew what was coming. Angela, she said, pointing right at my daughter, you live on a farm. Angela would never want to be thought of as a farm girl. We got to have some manure. Angela would rather incinerate her Toy Story movies than touch manure. Shepherds were tough hombres, Missy told the kids. Shepherds were lowlifes, and God sent his angels to them for a reason, because they were. That's the point of Christmas. He came to save ordinary people, not just kings, but the lowlifes. Missy wanted just a bit of manure in church. Her request was a big deal 5 years ago, raised a big stink, in fact. But Missy Simpson wins her major battles. We need manure on the manger. We need it on you guys, the shepherds. We need it around the church or something that looks like it, she said. On Christmas Eve, this isn't going to be a church. It's going to be a barn. And Angela, my daughter, was the pageant's manure pipeline. I knew she didn't like the appointment in the least. At least, that's why she was owly when the lecture ended and she got in the car. And our Angela had wanted to be Mary, but Roberta Decker got the job. On a scale of 10, Roberta Decker is, I'm sad to admit, maybe a 9 to my Ange's 6. Ange did not want to be a manure-caked, cross-gendered shepherd, especially if Roberta got Mary's song. So all the way home, my daughter didn't say a word. Not until we pulled into the garage did her mouth open at all, and then it became my fault. Whose idea was it anyway for us to move out in the sticks, she said. My daughter still has the sentimentality of a child, but time and her own body chemistry is pushing her unmercifully toward adulthood and a complexity, a place that she really doesn't want to go. We bought her a horse for Christmas, but we gave it to her already just after Thanksgiving. I honestly thought there was a verse in the Bible that says, your young women will love horses. Well, Angela's on speaking terms with Mac. She named it after a computer. But all the schmaltzy Black Beauty stuff? No way. I think she likes him, even if in front of her parents she acts otherwise. I've been in the barn with the chicken several times and heard her talking to him. It's our having moved out of town that irritates her. She thinks she's miles from friends. Our Angela hovers on the precipice of adulthood, and like the coyote in Roadrunner cartoons, a fall is going to happen. I remember the first time I took her to the dentist, and Dr. Lowell, a kind-hearted guy, stood there in front of her and told her she was going to have to watch the sweets. Take it easy on candy. She could not have worn a heavier face that morning, but back then the poor kid had no sense of darkness, and today she does. But it's the mix that confuses her, like it does all of us. She could get along swimmingly in a child's world of light. On the other hand, I think she could, like all of us, learn to negotiate her way through the darkness if darkness were forever the shape of things. But it's the mix that's tough on her, just as it is on all of us. And that's what she's learning. She still would prefer her Christmases much more My Little Pony-ish. We opened our presents during the afternoon of Christmas Eve this year. Randy, our oldest, home from college, brought Lexi, his girl, but as Missy said, that's another story. At Christmas, my wife, who I love dearly, loses control. She claims there's 10 times as many great presents for a boy like Barry, our youngest, who's 10, than a girl like Ange. Besides, Barry's her baby. So this year, when Angie's major league present was a horse too big to corral into the family room, when her little brother Barry looked over a range of Christmas booty that threatened to take over the house, and when her big brother Randy and his sweetheart fiddled with the drone he'd wanted for his photography, Angela looked down at some tatted hankies from Grandma, a study Bible from her parents, and a new sweater, and felt indecently shortchanged. She left the house in sour-faced silence. Now, a word in defense of my beloved daughter. It really wasn't the lack of presents that got to her. She knew very well that Mac was hers and hers alone. What bummed her out was the lack of climax. A day after Halloween, the march towards Christmas begins. Everywhere you hear music. Christmas specials air nightly after Thanksgiving. Angela, the child, lived in anticipation of something imaginary called Christmas. In her mind, that Christmas reaches its climax around the tree when we open presents, and that Christmas Eve afternoon, the ritual of presents simply didn't deliver the goods, didn't live up to the imaginary hoopla. She wasn't as angry with us as much as she was let down by a drum roll that had risen to this very day and then simply whimpered off. That's what bugged her. We moved to an acreage in the country for many reasons, but one of them is critters. I love animals. Missy Simpson wasn't wrong. We got manure in all shapes and sizes. So getting some was my excuse to go out to talk to my daughter. If the pageant's nativity scene was going to grip us with authenticity, I'd have to collect the dung. I knew Angie wouldn't, no way. I suppose I shouldn't have been surprised that she wasn't with the horse when I got out there. Instead, I found her with the chicken, sitting cross-legged on the floor in her sweatshirt and jeans. My daughter is becoming a woman. Her shoulders have broadened, and even in that seated position, I could begin to discern an hourglass. We'd been losing chickens. Five of them in 5 days, a couple of leghorns, a Rhode Island red, and then the one that really angered me, a Buff Uppington, a fat and fluffy brown honey of a hen, if chickens can be likable. The identity of the murderer was a mystery. The victims were hardly touched, just a plump hump of feathers, necks split. Coons we've had before, but a raccoon doesn't simply drink blood. I didn't have a clue who was doing the cold-blooded murders when I put out the trap. And Ange had been furious, but not because she likes chickens. Sometimes I have to push her out to get eggs. She had told me that if whoever or whatever was doing the killing would eat him, she could tolerate the murders. But such wanton killing galled her, and she wanted the murderer's blood. And I was mad, too. When I saw that buff down, I could have taken on a skunk with a straw broom. That Christmas Eve early, as we were opening presents, the murderer had arrived and walked into my trap, and there he was, right in front of her. "What is it?" she asked when I came up behind her. The animal was long and blessed and graced with glossy fur. It looked up at her nervously and paced back and forth, like the king of beasts. "Good night," I said. "It's a mink." "Are they rare?" she asked. "Not rare, but wily. I never thought I'd catch a mink in a box trap. This one must be really messed up." She pointed. "Well, he doesn't look messed up," she said. "He's gorgeous." And he was. His tiny eyes were translucent in a face that looked classic, Greek or Roman. Nimble and agile, his body flowed through that cage. Like a cat, he showed no expression, and the stoicism granted him an astounding nobility. He was brown, no chestnut, no reddish mahogany, with a sheen of darkness over the ends of each follicle of warm, beautiful fur that, even in the soft yellow light of the coop, shone like the red planet. He was beautiful. "Well, you can see why people want coats," I told her. She was transfixed, as if that mink were an alien. "Can we keep him?" she asked. "Well, he's not a sheep, Ange," I told her. "You're lucky enough to see him. They're nocturnal, totally. I don't know what brought him in so early. He must have figured the place was a piece of cake." "You think he did it?" she asked, pointing at the dead leghorn across the room. "I know he did," I told her. "Look at him. I can't believe he's a murderer," she said. "I won't. Why should he? He's too perfect, Dad. He's just beautiful." "He sucked the blood out of 5 hens," I told her. Back and forth, the mink ranged through the trap. And then she said what was really on her mind. "I've been thinking, Dad, you know the story about what happened?" For the first time, she looked up at me. "About what happened?" I said. "You know, in the stable in Bethlehem." She shrugged her shoulders, annoyed at what she'd sounded like. "Whew, seems as if you can't say anything about Christmas without it sounding like a commercial." "What happened?" I said. "That old story. I know it's silly and it's dumb and it's not in the Bible. And you know that old story about how all the animals in the barn suddenly spoke at Jesus' birth?" "Sure, I know the story," I said. And then she looked back at the murderer, that beautiful mink, and she pointed. "You think it was all of them who spoke?" she said. My daughter had wanted this thing dead, but when he appeared in his unforgettable coat, she'd fallen in love. "Even a mink," she said. "You think they all spoke?" "That's just a story," I said. "But let's just say it happened," she said. "You think they all spoke or sang or whatever, all of them?" "Every last one," I told her. "Every last critter in the neighborhood. Even the killers." And then she nodded knowingly, like someone who is no more a child. Her face darkened, then lit up. "It's a big deal, isn't it?" she said. And I don't think she meant that as a question. "You mean Christmas, Ange?" I said. She nodded again. "Christmas," she said. And then she brought her hands right up to the cage, half inch away, held them there as if she could hold that beautiful mink herself. "You know what the Bible says, Dad? The lion lies down with the lamb. Isn't that right? Something like that. Isn't that the way it goes?" You got it, honey, I said. At Christmas, everybody sings. And then, very patiently, I asked her, so tell me, Ange, you get it, don't you? Her back was to me. I can't expect much more than that. She didn't turn to face me or look at a church full of people or anything. She was staring at the killer and thinking of the most beautiful Christmas music, of peace, of a silent night full of cartoon voices. Nobody else saw what she did just then, but I did. And I won't ever forget that one definite, glorious nod of her head. Well, let's get back inside, I said. They're all waiting, you know. It's Christmas Eve. No kidding, she said, like a child. But I swear that what I heard from my daughter just then was the voice of a woman who will, I'm sure, soon enough, be given a bigger role in a much greater pageant.